Hey guys, this episode of Sports Spectrum is brought to you by our friends at Water Mission, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean and safe water and, most importantly, God's love to people around the world. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. Watermission.org/join the team. I'm telling you, you won't regret getting involved with this amazing ministry. Clean water to people in need. Watermission.org/join the team.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am Jason, and this is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. It has been my honor for 5+ years to be your host on this show, and I love what we get to do, bringing Jesus into the sports conversation. And we're going to do that again today with our friend Tyler Klutz. I'll tell you a little bit more about that conversation in a second. First, make sure you go check out our website, sportsspectrum.com. Tons of free content there, including our podcasts, our podcast network of shows, daily devotionals Monday through Friday, articles and testimonials and stories. They're all there at the website, sportsspectrum.com. And when you're there, make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out every Wednesday morning, right to your email inbox, and keeps you updated on all the happenings going on with Sports Spectrum. Again, go to sportsspectrum.com at the top of the website. You click that newsletter icon. You put your email address in, and I promise you we won't spam you. You'll get one email every Wednesday updating you on all that we have going on with the Sports Spectrum newsletter. Again, sign up at sportsspectrum.com. Now, Tyler Klutz is joining us here on the podcast today, and today's show is a little different from what we normally do. I like to interview people on this show and ask them tons of questions about their faith and their journey, their walk with the Lord. But today, when I realized that Tyler was available and we were at a conference together in Colorado, and I grabbed him and I said, hey, why don't we just sit down and talk about a couple things that might be on your mind, might be on my mind, and let's just banter back and forth a little bit. And Tyler does this with his own podcast that he and Darren Woodson from the Dallas Cowboys, the longtime Dallas Cowboys safety. Tyler is a former NFL player as well, if I didn't mention that, with the Dallas Cowboys. And then Ben Gibbs joins them, and they have a podcast called One Shot, where they kind of do this. They pick a topic, and they just talk for a while. And I thought, let's do that here on Sports Spectrum with Tyler Klutz. And we went to a couple places that can be difficult to discuss through the lens of faith as a follower of Christ in the sports world, talking about taming the tongue, watching your mouth. What does that look like as a follower of Christ in athletics? And the other topic we talked about was individualism in today's sports world. And that gets pretty good as well. So take a listen to our conversation today on a couple topics here on Sports Spectrum with Tyler Klutz, the former NFL fullback, joining us right now on the show. Tyler Klutz, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, buddy. It's been a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's good to be back. I think, yeah, so I came on 8 years. That was when I was on, and then we had you on our podcast in 2020.
Yes.
Was it 2020 or 2021?
Was it COVID?
It was COVID, yeah, because okay. We were doing it out of Darren Woodson's living room.
That's right. When you launched it, 2020. So tell everybody that's listening about your podcast, and then we'll explain what we're going to try and do here on the show today.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, because we specifically talked before this not to plug the podcast, my podcast.
It's not how I work, man. Sorry.
But I'm lucky enough to host a podcast with another former Cowboy, Darren Woodson.
Yeah, my former colleague at ESPN.
Yes.
Love that guy.
He is one of the.
He's also a pretty good Cowboys player.
He was okay. He's a better man than he is a football player. But another friend of ours that we all work at the same real estate firm.
Yeah.
Started a podcast in 2020, March of 2020. We launched our first episode Yeah, 2 weeks before the pandemic.
Yeah, so you didn't launch this because of the pandemic.
No, no. We had started going, and we were recording in the Cowboys podcast studio.
Yes.
And then that got shut down, and then we went to my house for a couple of weeks, and then we did it out of Darren's family room for about a year and a half. And then we got a podcast. We got a studio. But started out as a Darren Woodson show. And the premise of it is really to encourage people about their journey. A lot, very similar to what you do here at Sports Spectrum, because you know, sharing testimonies. But you know, from our case, we want to talk business, we want to talk sports, we want to talk mixed martial arts, leadership, community service. We want to kind of tackle a lot of those. But you know, we're in an Instagram age where you see. What people post and what they want you to see. And you think, oh, life is easy. You know, you see these people that, and I'm throwing up the quotes if this isn't on the, we see cameras, but
we have video.
Yeah.
This will be video and audio.
So if you're just listening, I'm throwing up air quotes, but reached success.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, it's easy. They've got to figure it out, or someone gave it to them. And you don't hear the trials and tribulation and all the things that they went through to get there, and maybe some of the things that they learned along the way that can help somebody else. So we started out that, but the problem with, you know, us wanting to do leadership and wanting to encourage people is they heard the Darren Woodson show, they automatically thought football.
Yeah. And that's how it started.
Yeah.
It was just Darren stories, Darren friends.
Yes. And it was like Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin. And, you know, we had a couple military guys on that were just awesome. And,
yes.
You know, it's nice because Darren will reach out and people say yes. You know, if Tyler Klutz reaches out, they're like, who are you?
Hey, I scored that touchdown in the playoffs.
I got to attach a highlight video, a resume. You know, and so we learned that, we got this following. I mean, even Apple, iTunes, the podcast platform, they put us into the sports category.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So we rebranded in January of this year to the One Shot Podcast. And so what that is we really kind of solidified our mission statement in that we want to encourage and equip others to take advantage of this one shot you have at life. And so that comes with physical health, that comes with emotional health, that comes with relational health, that comes with spiritual health, that comes with really it's got to be the whole package. And so we just have fun with it, honestly. It's going to be a lot like this episode that we're going to do. We're going to wing it.
We are. Well, the One Shot Podcast, I listen to it pretty frequently, and a lot of what we're trying to do today is what your show, portions of your show are. It's talking about real things in life, real topics, coming at it from different perspectives, bringing in nuance, which is gone if you're on social media. And, you know, yours is directed at a bunch of different areas. Obviously, Sports Spectrum is the intersection of sports and faith. So I'm coming at it from that lens with some of the topics, or one topic, we'll see how this goes, that we're going to get into today. And you and I have had a lot of conversations. I know we saw each other in Los Angeles at the Super Bowl. Your lovely wife Tiffany was there, and we were just talking about a bunch of different things, and something came up there that I thought we could start with.
Yeah.
And it was taming the tongue.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we ended up in that conversation, you know, in Los Angeles that day, but it had me thinking about, as Christians, and again, we're coming from this lens with this audience, as a Christian athlete, how should they be conducting themselves from the perspective of taming your tongue? Not how you, I mean, we were called to be ambassadors of Christ. We're called to represent Jesus wherever we go. And yet in the sports world, there are moments when I see some guys that I know have professed a faith in Christ, and I'm not going to call anyone out here, that's not my place, but who might drop an F-bomb or so, who might, you know, celebrate after a big win. Let's say a linebacker makes a tackle and he's fired up.
Yeah.
And you just can see he's using every curse word in the book. But I know that linebacker maybe has professed a faith in Christ.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking, how should athletes conduct themselves in taming the tongue? And how important is that? And I have no idea where you stand on this topic other than you're a former pro athlete.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be interesting to have this discussion because I'm very mindful of not judging either.
Yeah.
If you curse, it does not mean you're not a Christian. That's everybody right. struggles and everybody uses language differently. But there should be some fruit from that root that you call Jesus.
Yeah. And so there's nuance, right?
There is.
You just mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different layers. Like I had someone that I very, very much respect from a faith standpoint. And what he's done and just literally pouring out the Spirit to other people. And he is someone that uses curse words
okay.
a lot.
Okay.
I mean, he comes from the construction industry. And it was interesting to me because I grew up, my grandfather was a Baptist minister. So like if you said, if you said, but, I mean, you're getting a hand slap.
Oh, sure. Shucks.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in trouble.
And so, I mean, can I say butt on the show?
Yes, you can say butt.
Okay. Yes. So
you can say whatever you want. I have a bleep button, Tyler.
Okay. So we've got two bleeps already this episode.
We're going to bleep the word butt out.
So I was raised in a way, and I was raised in a home that language was not to be used, and really particularly for what you just said. Okay, how do you represent Jesus? But I would say this is as I grew and I matured and experienced different things.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things that the questions that I have, and I don't have answers, by the way. It's just my perspective is. I mean, was the word damn? Was that considered a cuss word in the Bible? I mean, who dictates
let's talk about these words, because in the Bible there really doesn't say what a cuss word is.
That's
my brother, who's a pastor, once said, Jason, it doesn't say you can't say this word or that word.
That's correct.
It just talks about, you know, being uplifting. Do not let any
correct.
Unwholesome talk come out of your mouth.
Correct.
Don't use the Lord's name in vain. We've heard that one, obviously.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say which words
and
you
that's
can and can't
and
use.
That's the guy that I respect. That's one thing that he said, because when he uses the language, it's not in a derogatory, that's not in a hurtful, that's not in a in a way that puts anybody down.
Yeah.
It's edgy, it's rough, just because that's what I grew up learning.
Sure.
But when you use those words, it's context matters, I think. And so for me, I choose to limit those. Now, is there times that I say it? Yeah, you listen to my podcast. There's times that I will say it. And
sure.
A lot of times, like, you'll get into conversations and atmospheres where like it's maybe your guest or your co-hosts, it starts going and it just kind of rolls out a little easier, and it's almost not even natural. And every time I do it, I'm always like reaching to grab it back, because I'm like, oh my gosh, my wife's gonna be in the car with the kids and they're gonna hear daddy say that.
Yes.
Because those aren't okay in our home, because that's just the decision that my wife and I have made. But I think that context matters. I am very, very competitive. And I'm much more competitive with myself than I am anybody else.
Sure.
So if, like, when I was playing, if I were to make a blatant mistake that I knew that I had no business making, like, my first reaction was like to say it, not directed to anybody, but it was to me. It was
like what the bleep, Tyler?
Yeah,
what am I doing?
What are you doing? You know? Now. That was a lot of immaturity. That was a lot of insecurity. There was a lot of things that I was dealing with at that point. So for me to sit here and say, because I'm going to wrap this whole thing up, is for me to say, no, you shouldn't curse, because I did quite a bit, because I messed up a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
But what ultimately it has to come back to, and I think that you've got to make the decision, are you attracting others to Jesus, or are you deterring people from Jesus? You just have to be aware that as followers of Christ, is we are under a microscope. And the enemy is looking for ways to call us a hypocrite, ways to call us, you know,
two-faced.
Bad people.
Two-faced.
Yeah, two-faced. Yeah. I mean, all the things that you hear about Christians today. And so as you're just conducting your vocabulary, is, hey, can I substitute a word that maybe, even if it's a millimeter of a difference in edging someone towards knowing Christ or leaning toward or asking a question about it, then I would encourage you to maybe lean that way. You know, there's people that say, and this is what my dad used to say, and one of the best men I know, but he's like, honestly, cussing is lazy. Like,
yes,
if you can't think of another, you can't think of another adjective to use to describe something, then you need to start working on your vocabulary. Because, and I'm not all the way on it. I think that there's, if you have to emphasize, I don't know, I'm not even going to go any further, but that was a perspective that I had. So I've always thought about that, and like, it being called lazy is as big of an insult that I could ever receive.
Well, what's hard too, lazy is not a good, yeah, that's not a good moniker that anybody wants to have on themselves. But I think, you know, we think about the moments that the world might see us. That's a moment that might be the worst moment for them at that time. Now, again, there's times when a guy might make a great play, a baseball play, and go bleep and bleep, know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, why does that come out of his mouth? Or I once saw a manager, a Major League Baseball manager, over the last few years from a specific team who I know has been open about his faith. And there was a bad call made, and he jumps in the umpire's face and is like cussing him out, you know, left and right, up and down, using language. And I'm like, man, that's not a great witness of your faith, because at some point somebody's going to say, let's say I have that guy on the show.
Yeah.
What do we do with that?
Yeah.
And somebody might say, well, how can you have that guy on your show if he did this? And then I go to the other side, because I think I'm a pretty empathetic person, to where I'm like, but that's maybe his worst moment. And we can't judge somebody's faith by their worst moment.
Well, and yeah, and here's the thing is how many of us have lots of worst moments?
I mean, hands raised here.
Yeah. None of us are above that. It's hard because, it's to say, oh, well, you shouldn't do that, because here's the reality is professional sports, and that's what we're gearing this around, is an emotional profession. Like, your emotions are up, they're down. You know, the best of the best control them adequately at best. I mean, think about Tom Brady, arguably the greatest of all time. I mean, I know everyone calls him the GOAT.
No, he is.
But I mean, you put him, you put Jordan, and you put Tiger, right, in those sports. And,
absolutely.
And you say, okay, hey, you know, they're definitely on the Mount Rushmore. I mean, think about how many times you've seen him lose it. And he's as composed of a guy normally through a game. But the emotions, the ups and downs. So in times, like you're talking about the manager that's, hey, faith. I mean, how many times as husbands have we lost our cool with our wife and said things that I should never speak to my wife that way? I mean, it happens.
Or our kids.
Yeah, well.
Which I've had to apologize.
Yes.
I'm sure you have too.
Yes.
To my daughter many a times.
Yeah. Yes.
Not necessarily using cuss words.
No,
but,
no. But like tone. Speaking in a tone. And that's
yes.
it. And I think that's where the whole, to wrap this up, I think the whole cussing thing is about, are you speaking life or are you not? And can you do it in a way without using cuss words? Like, I would highly, highly encourage you to pursue that.
Yeah.
Now, if you were raised where you just, that's the other thing too, is some people are raised where they don't even think a second thought about those words. And they don't even consider that as, because that's just so regularly used in the community that they were brought up in. But they still speak life into people. They still are uplifting. They still encourage. Their actions are, but there's some spice sprinkled in there. And so I think everybody's case is different. My personal belief is I really, really try to minimize, if not eliminate, that from my vocabulary. Because, again, my kids are going to see me. They're going to reflect what they saw daddy and mommy do. And the funniest conversation we have, my wife literally never cusses except for when she is scared, which – unfortunately is all the time.
Oh, okay.
So like anytime, like I'll walk into a room and it's S-H-I-T, like screams it. Like, and it's not even like I'm trying to scare her. Like, yeah. I'll just walk into the room and she gets startled or she kicks something. Like, so that's the big joke in our house.
Funny.
It's like, mommy's the only one that cusses.
Don't scare. Don't scare Tiffany Klotz. Well, the funny thing is, and I'll wrap up my end by saying, when my daughter was born, now the biggest struggle for me growing up, after I became a follower of Christ, I was 27 when I started that journey. I grew up in a, you know, small town Italian home that cussed a lot. So I cussed a lot. When I met my wife, I cussed a lot. When I became a Christian, it took 2 years, but that was something that convicted me personally. Other than my relationship with Jesus and trying to grow in him, was I have to conduct myself better. And so I worked for 2 years with a lot of prayer and just, you know, different scenarios. I found myself cussing mostly when I would play basketball at the YMCA and dropping really bad words that I would never say anywhere else. And I was like, wait a minute, that's a terrible witness. Then my daughter was born, 2004. And this is 3 years into my faith walk. And that's when I said, okay, the reason why I don't want to ever curse anymore is because if I can't say it around my daughter, whether she's 2 months or now 18, I don't want to say it in front of anybody.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a mindset. And the Lord helped me with that. And that's kind of where I am. So you won't hear me. I mean, ESPN guys used to bust my chops all the time because they would never hear me cuss. And that's just the way I am, the way I hopefully will always be. It doesn't mean I don't get mad. It doesn't mean my tone isn't wrong. And it doesn't mean I don't sin. That's for sure. But I hope that that is an example for my daughter, that when she goes out into the workforce or becomes a mom and becomes a wife, she sees that as, listen, I can be just as neat, the way I want to express myself can be just as effective without using those words.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope. I hope, you know, that time growing up and learning from that happens for my wife and my daughter. And that's how we are. And that's where I'll leave it at that. Hey guys, taking a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you again about our friends at Water Mission, our partners here at Sports Spectrum. They are amazing partners, what Water Mission does. A Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean, safe water and God's love to people all around the world. Now you can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a place to sow, to give, to pour into, and know that your money is going to make a difference, Water Mission is the place to go. Again, the website, watermission.org/join the team. So the second topic that I think we can hit into is something that you and I were also talking about beforehand, about individualism in today's sports world. Now, this is a time that we are in 2022, and we've been in it for a while, where it's all about me. It's about the name on the back of the jersey, and it's about getting yours, right? And it's about Instagram and likes and followers and social media. And it's also about contracts. And we see that, you know, guys are not happy with situations. So they want out because it's not best for them. This is such an interesting time, Tyler. And I thought for you and I to talk, not just about that topic, but again, we're coming from a different lens. We're coming from it from a person of faith in the world of sports, in this individualistic sports society that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's an interesting time. And, you know, and we can talk about this as well, but I mean, now you layer into collegiate sports and how you talk about,
add that onto it.
You know, now you add, you know, the name, image, and likeness. And so that's a whole nother level. And now all we're breeding is more. But here's the thing. I want to preface this part of the conversation with, I am 6 years out of playing. I had a lot of growing up to do after, you know, I was very naive. I thought, you know, you always think you have it together, but so this is looking at it hindsight. And so I have a different perspective than guys that are in it. It's the same as when I say to my kids now, Man, I can't imagine growing up in your era. Like, you know, we grew up no cell phones. Now it's like
I'm older than you. Connected. I remember rotary phones. Come on.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh no, I do too. Are you kidding?
That's cable television. And
you had to literally stand when you were talking to somebody on the phone. You had to stand in the kitchen next to everybody and talk to them unless you had the extended yes. phone cord.
We're dating ourselves, by
the
way.
Man, I know.
So bad.
So I want to preface that. I don't know what it's like to be in one of those locker rooms. I don't know what it's like. Here is what I have observed from the outside since, because I do think it's escalated exponentially since I've gotten out.
I think so.
And, you know, and I'm not putting blame on anybody, but I think in the NFL, Juju, he really brought, okay, hey, look. Not only can I be a player, I've also got to have a social media presence. I've got to have
a brand,
yeah. Individual brand. And so, yes, there are successes with it. There is benefits to it. Here's the problem is when you become your own individual brand, it becomes harder to be a team.
Yeah.
If you're a golfer, you don't have to rely on anybody. I mean, you've got your caddy, you've got your coach, you've got your team, right?
Yeah.
But it's you. But when you're in a sport, specifically football, when you're on the team, what are they, 56-man rosters now? 56 guys plus your practice squad and your coaching staff. I mean, we're talking 70-plus people that you all rely on and are moving in the direction towards a championship. It's really hard when you have 70 individuals. And you put your own benefits over the benefits and progression of the team. That's what's really hard to me. And so what we're seeing because of the individualism, in my opinion, and I'm sounding like the old guy talking about these youngsters, is I do feel like there's a lack of leadership.
Mm.
Because instead of pouring into the younger guys, instead of mentoring, instead of helping someone navigate a situation that can get them and allow their focus to be back on the mission at hand, now it's, well, I mean, I got to go do this shoot, or I got to spend some time on social media, or I got to go. It's always something else. You're always being pulled to something else. And really, you just don't care, because right now the individualism also is in alignment with the immediate gratification movement.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, well, I can generate more revenue by posting something than I can spending a year mentoring a younger player. And so we just want it. We want those things now. And we have, you know, that endorphin high, and you know, when we get a bunch of likes, or we get, you know, we're trending, or whatever it may be that come with this individualistic social media culture. So it's just, it's really hard, because I do see in the locker room, instead of just one unit, now you see this unit just disperse, and I don't think that it's good for the sport. And you want to talk about NIL?
Well, I was going to say, from a Christian athlete perspective, yeah. though, how should the Christian athlete approach it? And maybe it's the same answer as how any athlete should approach it. But
yeah.
Where is your perspective on that? Because, you know, we're wearing shirts and we're at a conference that talks about the increase in Christ and the decrease
of self.
And yeah. Here we are talking about individuals, even those of faith,
yeah.
who are increasing themselves.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. And I think I started on like the secular benefits of it first, right? Like the hurt, you know, hurting of the team.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is, I mean, we talked about it literally today, the Great Commission. Like, what are we called to do as men of faith? Is we are called to make disciples of others. And that is it. And if we are only focused on self and we're only focused on get mine, how are you how are you ever encouraging, inviting others
when you're so focused
part
on
of
yourself.
The kingdom? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to be like that guy. The men that I wanted to, I gravitated towards, the men I wanted to spend time with, the men I wanted to learn from, and like, okay, what did they do? What's different about them? Those are the Benjamin Watsons. Mm-hmm. The first person I met in an NFL locker room, I walked into the Cleveland Browns locker room in first week of December in 2010. And no, second week. Sorry, it was the second week because I was there for 3 weeks. And I walk in at like 6 a.m. Benjamin Watson's there. I literally had signed the afternoon before. He walks in and hands me a Bible with my name engraved on it. And that was like the Christmas gifts for the entire team. So we bought the entire team. But I mean, he literally had like 12 hours to get a Bible engraved with my name on it. I still use that Bible today.
Wow.
But those are the types of men, the Josh McCowns that paid for the entire Chicago Bears to come to PAO, where I ultimately rededicated my life to Christ and was baptized.
Yeah.
The Justin Forsetts, who just was like solid as a rock and just lived his faith. And I mean, those are the guys, Matt Fortes. I mean, those are the guys that I gravitated because I watched them and it was, what do they have different about them? They care about their brothers on the team. They're sacrificing. They're spending time with other guys. Those are the things that to me, and that's what makes a good locker room.
Mm. And we're missing that now.
Missing it.
Yeah. And it's funny because even the teams that are winning, it still feels individualistic.
Yeah.
Almost like it's an acceptable thing in society today.
Oh.
And I worry for the young guys who want to stand for Christ, who want to live a life like a Benjamin Watson, like a Justin Forsett, as you mentioned, guys that are all about others, you know, living in the decrease of self. And yet I still worry because the world is such a cesspool of selfishness.
Yeah.
I think. And you know, and the world will come at them and say, don't worry about this other stuff. Let me help you. Let me make you a star. And they buy into that. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, get yours while you can. It's not going to last forever, so get yours while you can.
Yeah.
And so that's why you see guys like holding out for contracts after their third year. And it's like, you haven't earned – I use Tom Brady again, but when did you ever hear him in a major, major dispute over a contract?
And I mean, you ever.
And you
by the way, he took a lot less money for a long time. A
whole lot less money.
For a long time.
Now, granted, his wife made decent income, and I'm sure it was,
by the way,
it was a little different scenario.
He's making, I think, $40 or $50 million a year or whatever it is. So he's fine now.
So, but we just see so much of that. And, and the guidance and advice from these people that are coming in and benefiting from that, like, let's not forget that, right? They're benefiting from it. The advice is, no, you got to get yours while you get, you know, the life of an NFL player isn't long. You're only going to be relevant for a couple. Get yours now. You can do good later. No. The platform is now. And I learned this is when you're playing in the NFL and you can say, I play for the Dallas Cowboys, people will listen. When you say, I used to play for the Cowboys, they're like, all right, cool. Do you know Dak? Or do you know Zeke? Or do you know? I mean, it's a totally different conversation.
They still listen, but it's a different type of attention.
It is very different. It really is. And me being in the business world and corporate world, I see it all the time. Like it's very different when you're an active player. So I say that because we talk about the stadium here at PAO and the increase, right? Is we want to use our platform to share the good news with the stadium. And that's why we were given this gift to play the game that we did or do. And we need to share it. And that's the time to really take advantage of it. Don't wait until, hey, I got mine. I'm comfortable. When it's convenient for me, now I'm going to do it. And I struggle with that. I struggle with, even in our country outside of sports, is we're so comfortable and all we're pursuing is more comfort. And we never are sacrificial. And I say never is a very strong word.
We'll say.
Yeah, we see less and less of sacrificial giving, sacrificial service. We don't see those things because everything is all about self comfort, and that's not what we're called to do. That's not what the disciples did. That's not what I mean. You look at people, followers of Christ in China are risking their lives in places to read the Bible.
Just to read it. Yeah.
And so, and I just think, man, it's so sad because we are so comfortable. And I'm guilty of this too. As I look back, did I take advantage of the platform that I had? It wasn't the same as everybody, but it was a platform. And did I do enough? And that's, you know, the day that I meet Christ, I'm nervous for that day. Did I do enough with the gifts that you gave me?
And I think a lot of us will. If we get caught up, though, in that mindset too much, we'll drive ourselves nuts we know that the faith that we both believe in as followers of Christ is not based on works, but it should motivate us towards works.
That's right.
And that's where I worry, because sometimes I think about that too. God, am I doing enough for you? Even when I was at ESPN, I thought about that a lot. God, am I doing enough for you? And then I'm thinking, all right, Lord, help me not to get too caught up in checking boxes to do enough for you. There's really a fine line.
Yeah.
And I love guys like Benjamin and others. I know we keep talking about Benjamin Watson, but he's such a great example of someone who just does. He doesn't worry about, you know, the checking the boxes or how many times he's helped someone or self-sacrificed. He just does it.
Yeah.
And well, because it inspires me, you know?
Because it comes from a place of gratitude. And that's where the service comes from. Is it's not because I'm obligated, because I've got to do this to get into heaven. It's not that. It's I'm so grateful that Jesus gave his life for me and loves me and accepts me as jacked up as I am. I mean, I want to go do this and I want to go do those things. And those are again, back to the individualistic, that is completely the opposite of being an individual. That is like, no, like I've been given, so now I must give. And that's unfortunately in the locker room today, it's harder and harder to find. I also think too, part of the reason of that is the locker rooms are getting younger. They're getting a lot younger. So that veteran presence, I mean, I think back, I wonder how many guys in the locker room today actually have gone through 2-a-days in the NFL.
Probably not many. Well, I think about like Dallas, right? Yeah. The Cowboys, my favorite team, your former team, and you're in Dallas. And like Dak Prescott right now, who's always under scrutiny because he's the quarterback of the Cowboys. But I think he just turned 29. So he's not even 30 years old yet.
Yeah.
And he's been in the league, this I think is his 7th year or something like that. He probably hasn't gone through 2-a-days, right?
No, he definitely hasn't. Because it was 2010 and before.
There you go.
And it was even
so Brady maybe the only one.
So yeah, left. I mean,
there's not many left that would have done that.
No.
So you're talking about leaders, though. But you're talking about leaders in the locker room. I mean, maybe Matthew Stafford when he was a rookie did that. But he's like 33, 34 or whatever, one of the few veterans that may have been around during that time, and Aaron Rodgers. But these younger guys that are in the locker room that are still veterans, like I said, you know, Dak's 29, and he's going to be looked at as a veteran.
And he's been leader. The guy since his second year in the league.
Since his first year.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because
as far as starting, he was a rookie.
But as a true leader in the
locker
room.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, you know? The second year.
You saw Jason Witten there. You had Sean Lee. You had some guys that
But this is his team now.
It's 100% his team.
And you're talking about a guy under 30 years old. And has he been, for lack of a better word, has he been discipled?
Yeah.
We're not even talking from a Christian perspective, but has he been discipled to be a better leader?
Yeah, so I'll say this. I know Dak. Dak's a great, great man.
Yes, I've met him too. He's amazing.
And I love him. You know when I saw him the best? It was when John Kitna was his quarterback coach. I saw the most growth, the most leadership. And honestly, on field, I think that was the best year that he played. So he has had exposure to it. The challenge is, like any of us, right, is we need accountability. And I'm not saying he's doing a bad job.
And by the way, we're not singling out.
This isn't me saying he does a bad job.
Right.
But everybody is. We desperately need leaders in the locker room that are going to encourage anti-individualism, but then also just mentor and are going to disciple the younger players, whether it be with the sport or with faith. We just desperately need more of those. The hard part is, and I love Dallas, but there's a very, very clear separation of church and state there.
There's a void. Yeah.
So it's hard to get in and really, truly mentor from that perspective. Like Darren Woodson actually does a really good job because he meets with a lot of the younger guys and just on a life perspective. He'll have a lot of conversations with those guys. Michael Irvin, he does the same thing. But it's one thing when it's, one of the old heads, that won 3 rings back in the 90s, and it's another thing when it's a guy that you bleed with every day. So we need more of those peer-to-peer mentorships in the locker room.
The problem is winning covers up a lot of you know, the stains and the sins that are going on, or the just the struggles that people have. When you win, everything seems on the surface to look great. Winning, unfortunately, can be a pretty big mask to bigger problems.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, winning also brings out, I think, sometimes that individualism even more. So, well, looking at the time here, as I have like three or four other topics, but I think we're going to table just for now. And maybe we do this again, you know, every couple of months or so, and we just pick up with a couple more topics and kind of do an extension of your podcast. So, Tyler, thanks for being here, buddy. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Always appreciate your candor.
Always enjoy it.
Your honesty. And let's do it again soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, bud. And many thanks to Tyler Klutz for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. He's such a good dude, and I hope you guys enjoyed that type of a show. It's got me thinking about Sports Spectrum. We interview so many wonderful people, but I like the conversations that are sort of off the cuff. Tyler and I literally sat down a few minutes before this taping and said, what are some of the topics we want to talk about? Taming the tongue, individualism in today's sports world. There was actually a couple other topics that we never got to talking about here on Sports Spectrum, but it made me think that maybe that's where this show can eventually go. We'll continue to have people and interview them and talk to them about their faith in Jesus and their testimony, but sometimes maybe it's great to just bring one of our friends on, like Tyler, and talk about some topics that are going on that are relevant to us as believers in Jesus in the sports world, maybe even particularly with athletes or coaches in the sports world that are followers of Christ. So stay tuned. Maybe we do more of that, and I would love to get your feedback on that. You can email me, jason@sportspectrum.com, if you like today's conversation and want to see more, and maybe even send in some topics that you'd like us to talk about. jason@sportspectrum.com is my email address. I would love to hear from you. Make sure you go check out our website again as well, sportspectrum.com. And whatever app you're listening to our Sports Spectrum podcast on, make sure you click that subscribe or that follow button so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. Dropping three new episodes every single week. Again, subscribe and follow on whatever app you listen to. I like to listen to my podcast on Spotify. I also use the Apple Podcast app. I've used the Amazon podcast app. I've used iHeartRadio's podcast app, and we're there. Sports Spectrum's podcast is on all of the podcast platforms. So we appreciate you. Make sure you tell someone about Sports Spectrum. Let them know about the conversations that we're having here. And then please do join us next time right here on Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith. Have a great rest of your day.